Welcome back. In this lesson, we're getting into one of the most important low-end skills in drum and bass, how to balance the sub with jungle swing so the track stays heavy, alive, and clean at the same time. This is not just about making the bass bigger. Indeed, NB, the sub is the engine. It drives the record, gives the drop its physical weight, and helps the track feel fast even when the notes are simple. But if the sub is too long, too wide, or too loud, it starts smearing the kick and the break. And if it's too thin or too controlled, the whole tune loses power. So the goal here is balance. Deep and centered, but still moving with the drums. We're going to work inside Ableton Live 12 using stock tools, and we're going to think like a producer and a mastering engineer at the same time. That means clean headroom, monosafe low end, controlled saturation, and enough space for the drop to hit hard later. Let's start by setting up the session properly. Set your project to 174 BPM. That's a classic DNB pace, and it matters because the groove and sub phrasing will feel different at this speed than they would in a slower genre. Create three groups: drums, bass, and FX or Atmos. Keep it simple and organized from the start. On your bass group, add utility and keep the low end mono. That's a really important habit. Indeed, NB, the true sub should sit dead center. If you let it wander in stereo, you risk phase issues and the whole bottom end starts getting unstable. You can always add width higher up later, but the real sub should stay locked. Also, put a spectrum on your master or on a monitoring track so you can actually see what's happening in the low end. Visual feedback is useful, especially when you're learning how the kick, sub, and break are interacting. And if you have a reference track, drop it into a separate audio track and level match it with utility gain. That way you're comparing tone and groove, not just volume. Loud always sounds better if you don't control for it. One more mastering-minded move: keep headroom early. Try to leave the master peaking around -6 dB before any final limiting. Don't chase loudness while you're building the arrangement. In DNB, once the drop gets denser, the low end changes a lot, and you need room for that to happen. Now let's build the sub the right way. The biggest mistake here is treating the sub like a drone. In DNB, especially with jungle swing, the sub is a rhythmic part. It should answer the drums, not just sit under them forever. Create a MIDI track and load operator or wave eatable. For a classic sub, keep it simple. A sine wave is usually the best starting point because it gives you clean weight without extra harmonics getting in the way. In operator, use one oscillator with a sine wave. In wave eatable, choose a basic sine or triangle style source and keep the movement minimal. Then add utility after the instrument and keep it mono. Now write the MIDI like a drummer and bassist working together. Don't just hold one note across the entire bar. Try shorter note lengths. Use gaps. Let the sub breathe around the kick and the snare. A one-bar pattern with 2 to 4 notes can already feel strong, if the timing is right. A good starting point is to use note lengths around 1/8 to 1/4 note, with a release between 40 and 120 milliseconds, so the notes stop cleanly. If the notes overlap, shorten them until the low end stops smearing. That tiny cleanup can make a massive difference. And here's the big idea. In jungle style DNB, the sub often feels best when it lands just after, just before, or between the key drum accents. That timing choice is huge. Sometimes it matters more than EQ. Think in impact windows, not just notes. Now let's build the drum groove. Create your drums group and use a break-based pattern or a hybrid with kick and snare layers. You can use drum rack for individual hits, simpler in slice mode for chopped break fragments, or audio warp it if you're working directly with a break loop. Ableton gives you all the tools you need to make this feel alive. Start by chopping a break into 1/16 or 1/8 fragments. Keep the main backbeat stable. Usually that means the snare stays strong on 2 and 4, or at least around those anchors in a jungle-inspired pattern. Then add ghost notes before or after the main snare hits. These little details are what make the groove breathe. You can also nudge some break hits slightly late, just a little. 10 to 25 milliseconds can create that laid-back jungle pocket without throwing the whole beat off. Another good trick is to use the groove pool and apply a groove amount somewhere around 55 to 68%. That gives you noticeable swing without turning the drums into chaos. The key here is controlled instability. You want the drums to feel human and energetic, but not messy. If everything is swung the same way, the groove gets stiff in a weird way. So keep one element relaxed while the others stay locked. Maybe the kick is tight, the snare is solid, and the ghost hats or break fragments are the parts that dance around a little. Now we need to make the sub and drums talk to each other. This is where a lot of DNB mixes fall apart. The sub and drums are not separate jobs. They're a relationship. On the drums group, Adequate and clean up unnecessary rumble, especially on break layers. If a sample is messy down below 30 to 40 Hz, trim that away. You don't need junk energy down there. Then you can use drum bus lightly if you want a bit of glue and transient shape. Keep it subtle. You want the break to feel together, not crushed. On the bass group, use EQ8 to make sure any mid-bass layer is not stepping on the sub. If you have a Reese or textured bass, high-pass it so the true sub has its own lane. This is a really important separation principle. Weight comes from the sub, but audibility comes from harmonics above it. If the bass disappears on smaller speakers, don't just turn up the low shelf. Add harmonics higher up instead. So if the kick is losing impact, don't immediately boost everything. First, shorten the sub note a little. Often that one move solves the problem better than EQ. If the break is getting masked, carve a small dip only where necessary. And if the kick has a strong modern punch, let it own the very first transient, then let the sub bloom just after it. Also check at low monitoring volume. This is a great habit. If the sub disappears when the volume goes down, it may be too soft or too smooth. If the low end only feels massive when it's loud, it may not translate well. Quiet listening reveals whether the groove is actually readable. Now let's add a mid-bass or a Reese layer. This is where you get the aggression and movement, especially in darker DNB. But the Reese is not the sub. It should live above the sub and support it, not fight it. Create a second bass track using Wavetable, analog or operator with a richer waveform. Add a little detune or unison style thickness, but only in the upper part of the bass range. Then use saturator, overdrive or roar if you want more edge and density. After that, high pass the layer somewhere around 90 to 140 Hz depending on the sound and the arrangement. That keeps the true sub clean underneath. A nice musical approach is to use the sub for foundation and the Reese for attitude. The sub gives you the physical impact. The Reese gives you the perceived size and motion. Together, they feel huge without forcing the actual sub to do everything. A simple arrangement shape can help a lot here. For example, in bars 1 to 4, keep it to sub plus a few sparse Reese accents. In bars 5 to 8, open the Reese up and add more movement. In bars 9 to 12, pull it back slightly for tension. Then in bars 13 to 16, bring the full weight back in with stronger drum interplay and more bass variation. That kind of contrast is essential. A drop that is constantly full often feels smaller than one that briefly thins out. Give the ear a reset, and the return hits harder. Now let's shake the transients and add some bus processing. On the drums group, drum bus can be really useful. Start with a modest drive, maybe around 5 to 15%. Use the transients control carefully if the break feels too soft. But don't overdo the boom if your kick already owns the low end. Too much compression here can kill the snap that makes DNB feel fast. On the bass group, saturator with soft clip can add just enough controlled edge to help the sub read on smaller systems. That's the key idea. Separate weight from audibility. The sub gives physical power, and the harmonics help it stay audible outside of big speakers. If the bass starts getting too wide or unstable, check your utility settings and keep the width at zero for the low end. On the master, while you're producing, only use gentle processing if it helps you judge the groove. A glue compressor can be helpful with slow attack and medium release, but don't flatten the whole thing. We're not trying to finalize the master yet. We're trying to preserve punch while making smart arrangement and low-end decisions. A solid low-end chain might look like this. Operator or Wavetable into EQ8 into utility on the sub-track. A textured bass layer with saturator into EQ8 into auto-filter. And on the drum group EQ8 into drum bus into utility. Simple, clean, and effective. Next, let's automate movement across the arrangement. This is where the difference between a loop and a track really shows up. A loop can hit hard for a few seconds. A track breathes. Automate the low pass on the mid-bass before the drop. Bring the ghost break layers up a little in the transition bars. Automate subtle sub-note changes for tension and release. You can even automate small utility gain changes on the bass group, maybe around 0.5 dB to 1.5 dB, just enough to create phrase contrast without sounding obvious. A really effective move is to strip the sub back in the 8 bars before the drop. Let the ear miss it for a moment. Then in the last 1 or 2 bars, bring in a drum fill or a short bass riser. When the first drop bar lands, keep it clean and uncluttered. That first hit needs space. If everything is busy, the impact gets diluted. Now do the mastering style checks. Collapse the low end to mono with utility and listen. If the sub vanishes or starts phasing, fix that before anything else. Check that the kick and sub are distinguishable, not just one giant blob of low frequency energy. If the Reese is too sharp or aggressive, tame the upper mid bite with a Q8, and keep an eye on headroom. Don't paint yourself into a corner. Listen at multiple volumes. Quiet monitoring shows whether the groove still makes sense when the bass isn't flattering everything. Louder playback shows whether the sub is swallowing the drums. You need both perspectives. And most importantly, don't try to fix low-end problems by just boosting the master. In DNB, a 1 dB improvement in the relationship between sub and drums is often more powerful than 3 dB of extra loudness. Let's quickly talk about common mistakes. One is making the sub too long. That burr kills jungle swing fast. Fix it by shortening the notes and reducing the release.